go. Here. I don't know if I get into the pool.
All right, I'd like to welcome everyone to our special call meeting today. Thanks for attending. It's always good to see our community come out with a need to be informed and to be informed. That's what this is all about. Transparency, as several people have called it. Transparency is hopefully getting out facts from some experts who know what they're talking about, and this is what we're hoping to do today. So, would you like to call the roll?
Councilor Ward.
Here.
Councilor McNabb.
Here.
Councilor Scott.
Here.
Councilor Hebel.
Here.
Councilor Katie.
Here.
Councilor Reed.
Here.
City Attorney Brown.
Here.
Okay, the reason, and I did call this special call meeting as the mayor. Some of you, I don't know who I know, but part of the mayor's duties will be to call special call meetings when there's a need to do so, and I thought in this case there was one. There is some confusion because at first I thought I might have to cancel the meeting. Originally I had three experts. We may have to. Originally I thought I had three of our experts from NPAS who could be here for this meeting.
What was this meeting, Mayor? What's got concerned? It's supposed to be an open door meeting.
Okay, open the door. Just tell them to go right out. Okay. Originally, I had three experts from MCAS who were going to be with us, three of our in codes and in our legal department and in our especially area of wastewater treatment plant. Unfortunately, because of the holiday, Susan couldn't be here. I thought we might have to reschedule it for later. But thank goodness we got the best of all of them. We have our specialist from MCAS and wastewater treatment plant here today who will be talking with us about some of the issues and concerns involved in compliance issues for our wastewater treatment plant. So let me just walk you through a little bit. I already had all of this printed out and ready to get to you today. I think some of it may have been on Mr. Evil's email website, but a Facebook site that you put it on. But here are the copies. When I first became mayor, I went down to the wastewater treatment plant to meet everybody. Was walking through and learned for the first time that we were taking what's called lead gates, which is runoff material from the landfills, into our wastewater treatment plant. First I ever heard of this. And at the same time, I heard that perhaps they were thinking of even trying to not just haul it in, but put a pipe to directly bring it in, which did concern me because I have a little bit of knowledge about how these things work and that could be dangerous. And so I immediately came back and started asking for where are the contracts to find the parameters of this. Who's responsible, who's liable, who's what and all of this. There was no contract. We do have what's called a memorandum of understanding, which is just more or less an agreement. And I'll give you a copy of this. That it was signed originally by former Mayor Dennis and former Mayor Mitchell from Memphis. It's more or less saying we'll take let's take the landfill and the landfill will take your brush, basically. And there's a 30-day cancellation clause on it for either mayor to get out if they want to in 30 days. Either party, so the town or the city mayor could have gotten out of it. This was first signed in 2016, passed around and then revisited, I guess, because of an ammonia problem overload. I guess it was really spiked, and they had to revisit it with some chemicals or something later. So I'll give you each a copy of this. I think you've got those other ones. Okay, so if you would pass these down, please. I'm just going to give all these documents. We'll talk about it in just a second, but I just want you to have copies of everything I have here. So it's out there and known about. Okay, I went then, after I learned about this, I started calling people around the state who might have some expertise in this in landfills and in wastewater treatment plants. And I got bombarded with a lot of concerns about what was happening. One of those experts I called was going to be our speaker today, Mr. Brett Ward. So he sent an initial email that made me realize this really needed to be looked into. Here's that email. Going down to you, please. Um, And after that, I started doing some more research into this and talked with more people from MPAS, and I talked with some environmental scientists out of Nashville and kept getting the same answer over and over again. You don't have enough information. Until you have more information, you could be putting your city at risk. You could be putting the water system, our Cumberland River system, because anything that comes from the landfill through our plant into the Cumberland River, we're responsible for it. So if we let toxins go out into our river of any kind, and EPA comes down, and they're going to come down and up pretty hard if they do that. So given all of those concerns, I would advise that several people do what you're legally bound to do. Call in the 30-day cancellation clause. Find out more about this. Do some more research. And that's what I'm doing. Again, as mayor, the buck stops here. I have a fiduciary obligation to take care of what our assets are. I have obligations to fulfill what our codes are. We also set oaths. And we can't take something that might be a liability lightly, even if it's our county who's asking us to do it. So that's the other reason I said this. I hand-delivered this to Mayor Mason, to his attorney, and our city attorney. And it just basically says I'm invoking the 30-day cancellation clause to stop this until we know, basically, until we have more input and know what we're doing about this. We can't put our city at a liability, either physically or financially, until we know what we're doing. So as of now, this MOU is revoked and canceled, because that was my power as mayor, because it was only written by a mayor. The initial MOU, as you remember, was not run by the council, it was not run by our city attorney. The attorney that wrote it up, with Mr. Bell. So this, in essence, had not even been approved by our city council at the time.
Mayor, could I interject one thing?
Sure.
You bombarded them with a lot of information.
Okay.
You've been back three or four minutes to read what they've got.
Right here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
anybody had a chance to look over that? We'll have a chance to ask more questions from our speakers. Okay. After I hand delivered that particular cancellation card to the mayor's two attorneys, that was notified in that on Monday, Mayor Mason hand delivered a letter to me, and I'm troubled about actually sharing this, but since it's already been shared on Facebook, I will. Basically, it's saying that he's not happy about this and that he will not charge us $200 per ton for the brush coming in and waste. And I have here, prior to this agreement, we never paid over $12, $13 going in. I've got some of the sample bills here. Of course, this would not stand up in the court of law because I hate to use the word, but it's very close to his court. And if somebody isn't doing what I want, so I'm going to triple, double, whatever. And that's why one reason I never would have given this to you, except that it was published on Facebook. And there you go. Here's the letter that was given to me. And by the way, we're going to probably revert back to what Mayor Hodge did in her term and try to be good recyclers of products. So we have a chipper, and we'll probably get another chipper, and then most of our brush is going, I've already talked to some of the work crew about it. We're going to see about the possibility of doing that again. We certainly won't pay those kind of prices to go to landfill, so we'll see about other possibilities to do with our brush as it comes to that. I'm hoping we can come to a better agreement about all of this. That would not be feasible for us to be paying that kind of money. So. Okay. What I would like to do, because we have a very small and very well run, we have two excellent operators for our wastewater treatment plant, we have a limited capacity. And one of the things I would like to do as mayor, and I'm sure all of you would too, is to see our city grow as far as industry, business, and other things. If we tie up all of our capacity with, let's say, material coming from the landfill, that's going to limit our growth. And in the end, will hurt us financially, to the city and the county financially. Because if we can get some great growth, I've already talked to several businesses that may be interested in coming to parties. So we've got to be very careful about our growth and what we do with our utilities here. We have in our codes, if you had a chance to read it, there's a specific area in our codes to say what we have to do to protect our utilities. Tonight, we will be talking a little more about our water and what's required from our water system as far as our bills. So that'll be more great information for you tonight. But expert in that field, which is Mr. Brett Ward. As I say, MPAS, for those of you who don't know, it's our governing body, pretty much, is municipalities. So that's why our code, if we get into a huge legal bind, we have attorneys from that area that come and help us. They have guidance that comes regularly if we need help with our codes or whatever is going on in municipalities. Mr. Ward is one of the experts in the field of wastewater treatment plants. I'm going to let him take the floor. He will probably ask questions. I want from his point of view to explain to us what is involved in the issue that we're talking about, compliance issues. And remember, this is a special call meeting to talk about what we advertise. Compliance issues with regard to Carthage wastewater treatment plant, because this situation took us out of compliance, and we can't afford to keep doing this again. So, Mr. Ward, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, Mayor. Mm-hmm.
questions to the council.
Yes.
What are your initial concerns about the leach field issue? Help me understand the local situation.
Is it properly being treated with the pre-treatment that is done at the landfill? That's my understanding, if they pre-treated to some extent there.
Okay, you're speaking of the landfill itself.
Correct.
Is doing some pre-treatment. I don't know. You know, I have not visited. I would like to go out and visit. You mentioned that in our conversation this morning about visiting. I do not know. I understand they have a couple of lagoons, and then maybe there's some chemical treatment going on right now. But you, is that correct?
Do we have someone from the county that can speak to it?
I'm sorry, Councilman, could we say this is your next meeting?
We are.
But he's asking our question.
And he could answer.
Well, he...
Can we, if he can answer that, can we, so that we have a clear picture, can the county who treats it, can they answer that as well?
If they have an answer, sure.
Okay.
Yes, but it's a chemical,
I stand up for it, being real loud.
When the ammonia issue come about, Mr. Steve down at the wastewater plant come to me and turned me on to a guy named Dan Mark. And we started putting bugs and food and bugs in the pond to eat the solids out and dropped ammonia. That's a copy of that I gave you the other day. That's what we're treating them, and we are aerating it and circulating it like that.
Do you have that chemical list, that compound?
I don't have it with me.
Okay.
But it is the one that we give to you.
Okay.
And then there is pre-treatment being the two lagoons that was mentioned. The top lagoon is aerated to deal with certain chemical constituents.
I'm sorry, I'm Chris Butler with Geoservices, Environmental Consultant for Smith County. So their process is it comes out of the landfill, goes into an upper pond, all that water is aerated, then it is transferred from the top, skimmed off the top, and transferred to a lower pond, which is a disposal pond. So there's about a 5-day residence time through both of those.
And you mentioned ammonia spiking. How can you tell us a little bit more about that?
It was back in the summer. It spiked up, and that's when we had a special call meeting with Steve and Air Dennis, Mayor Ned. And that's when we got turned on to Dan Martin to start treating it.
Could you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah. I'm Steve. I'm wastewater plant. What happens is we only do certain tests every 5 years when we do a permit review. So this summer, Nikki and I was getting ready to do our 5-year permit review. So we got 3 different samples on 4 or 5 days to the environmental science. So when it came back, we got a result, big red flag. And our ammonia was 4 to 5 times higher than it was in 2013. Well, these tests are going to the EPA, and it could affect our new permit. So I immediately came down, seeing Mayor Dennis, and said, we got a problem. There's no way they can go forward with anything until we get this ammonia under control. So we had a meeting, and like Johnny said, they was pretty much, what can we do?
Yeah.
And I said, well, I've got a guy here that can probably help you, and I got Dan Martin over there. And he got them putting pre-treatment on. Now, I know, I think it was July I got the test results. I haven't really gotten any since then. And the ammonia level had come down where it was within municipal code. But our municipal code is like 30 milligrams per liter coming into our system. For the first 3 months of this year, they averaged 355 milligrams per liter. Now, my biggest problem was who's doing the testing, who's reading the test, and why didn't they let Johnny know when it? Because if we hadn't done our test for our permit renewal, we wouldn't know about it. So, the big red flag to us right now is we're waiting on the proof on our new permit renewal. So they're going to require us to start testing for ammonia because the ammonia limit is high. You know, we may have to do it quarterly. Do we have to start doing distilled ammonia? We don't know. So that was the big red flag. Now, Johnny has worked good with me, and we tried to work. Like every time we come to a problem, we try to jump through it. But that was the first time we had a big major problem with ammonia, and I don't know how long it's been that high, because we don't do that test once every 5 years, and if we hadn't done it last year, it may still be that high, I don't know.
I've got a question, and this is one for you, I'm sure. In your letter talking about the leachate, it's basically, we don't, our city staff doesn't, it's the same, we don't have the technical expertise, and I was going to ask Steve, what's your class rating?
I'm grade four.
You're grade four. Wouldn't that fall under the technical expertise to handle that, or no?
That reference was about operating the electrical pre-treatment project.
Yeah, okay.
The time, and the experience of running the electrical pre-treatment program.
Gotcha.
Permitting the landfill, taking care of the extra testing, such as that.
Okay.
And then, along with their normal duties.
So, we've got TDEC has approved all this project, it's run through the whole entire state, and, but you as MTAS, you're somewhat differing from TDEC, but also referencing TDEC, so I'm just trying to figure out what the difference is.
I'm sorry, this is going to come.
TDEC is... Mayor Mason here, is it correct that TDEC has approved this project?
The force main.
Okay.
And they were on board with it before then.
Yeah.
We talked with an engineer this morning that was and just left TDEC 6 months ago,
mm-hmm.
and he said TDEC preferred method of leachate wastewater removal was by sewer. He told us that Middle Point in Russell County is done that way. Two landfills in Knox County and Johnson City were done that way, along with others across the state, those just before off the top of his head.
And when you were saying that, you're talking about a pipeline, not necessarily like...
Correct.
Does all wastewater
goes
into a sewer in every city somehow, but these are the cities that have adapted to...
I have a question for you to follow up on that.
Okay.
As referenced in this email, there are only certain water treatment plants that have a capacity
to
do what you're talking about, to handle
their
parts
that
have to be
one of them.
We aren't one, but I understand you did go to
Hartford
and maybe
some
agreements between.
We had talked with them about an emergency situation.
Right.
When you gave us 30 days, we had to do something.
Right.
I mean, I got to protect my.
But I guess what I'm saying is, since they do have the capacity and we don't here, would that not be a better preference for everyone?
They haven't said they have the capacity yet. Capacity's never been an issue, as far as I know, up until you took office.
Well,
we've got a 2-year test of, we've been doing this for 2 years, and it's not caused a capacity problem, to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I inherited this memorandum of understanding. And from all I can, and I spoke with both mayors this morning, and this was done above board. Mayor Dennis did bring it to this council, and talked about it. He did not vote for it. They didn't vote to approve it, but it was brought to the council.
May I ask you another question?
Sure.
And I'm going to direct this, because I don't know, this is our expert, we have to refer
well,
to.
Well, this is my expert. So.
I know, but we are here.
And
no
I've got
offense,
others.
No offense, but we are here representing the city.
And I'm representing the county.
I understand. And as I've said to you in the past, we were more than willing to work together with you on things that will help everyone. On this case, we have to say what this is. So I want to ask
are you prepared to take the burden of shutting that landfill down and the property tax track that will come with
it? I would like to ask, first of all, a technical question of our experts.
Okay.
We're talking about the ability for I think we're talking about an industrial treatment and a wastewater. What is it? It's different than what I'm talking about. I mean, that we turn it around that way.
Leachate generally is treated, but for a municipal wastewater treatment.
Okay.
It is a problematic waste. Again, it depends on the volume and the design and the size of the treatment plant that it's going into. There are a variety of situations across the state where leachate has caused significant problems in wastewater plants. Causing permit violations and major interference.
Do you have examples of that in the state?
Decatur County landfill in West Tennessee
okay.
Caused problems at a numerous wastewater plant in that area.
Is that a landfill issue or a wastewater issue?
Too much leachate into too small a plant.
Okay.
So it is now going to the Dyersburg plant, which is a very large, high capacity plant, with very capable individuals and quite unique design.
Charlie, quick question, just to connect the dots and finalize the capacity issue, because we have a few issues here. What is the capacity, if I remember correctly, when I was in the water plant, or the sewer plant, you were about half capacity in my personal, unless it's a flood zone like it is right now.
We have 625,000 gallons is what the capacity is on the permit. We can treat maybe 325, but the last 3 days with all the rain, Monday was 1.7 million. Tuesday was 1.5 million. Yesterday was 1.1 million.
Lower capacity.
Two, three times capacity.
Gotcha. Now, as far as the, how much is going into that pipeline per minute?
It will range because we do get impacted by the rain as well. So the rain, more leachate we're going to generate. So the average for the year is about 12,000 gallons per day. So
that's about what, 2 to 3 gallons a minute?
Most of the time it would be that 3 to 4. I think the agreement, or the discussion, not agreement, the discussion was no more than 8 gallons per minute is what the city wanted to see during the original discussion.
So if it does rain like this, right now, if we're dumping it straight in there, it's just going straight through and it's going straight in the river. It's not getting treated. Am I correct on that?
Correct.
So if it does rain and we have this pond, this held as a pipeline, we could technically turn that off, let all the flood go, and let that pond build up. Am I correct on that?
Yes. TDEC regulations require us to hold 30 days worth of storage on site. So we have a 30, I think it was actually 42 days of storage of leachate. So if there was a high volume, we'd turn the valve and we could store up to 30 days, and in this case, it's closer to 42 days.
And we've had preliminary discussions of building another pond before that situation.
Yeah, I see, because I don't know. How often is this runoff into your leachate, into your pond? How often is it tested by independent parties coming in?
Quarterly, every quarter.
And who is that independent party?
It's our engineering company.
Right now,
someone who's already hired by you.
Yes, sir.
Large design.
So they are hired by you, yet they come in and test it.
They don't actually do the testing. It's sent off to a certified lab that's a third party that then reports the back. So
they change the size and the time and the water that they send off.
It's agreed upon with TDEC. I mean, that's where the regulation comes from.
Have you ever had a third party independent come in and take the actual samples and send them off?
The process is, you know, the state requires groundwater monitoring, leachate monitoring, methane monitoring. So there's a suite of monitoring that has to occur in order for Smith County to hold their landfill permit. The third party piece of it is really the laboratory. There's a chain of custody that goes with it. So the means and methods of collecting the samples are already defined.
So may I ask, how is it then that the ammonia level in the sample that they just happened to catch at the plant 4 or 5 times higher than they would be allowed to have? Why would that not talk to someone who's testing?
It wasn't beyond Smith County, the solid waste permit. The 350 is not a permit violation for Smith County.
It's beyond what you should put in our sewer system.
In the MOU, there is no discussion of when to notify that there's been an upset condition. So
perhaps that's a reason to stop it, because there's not enough information and enough protection built into any of this. May I ask you, from the other side, was that even capacity run through for the county for not any work to do the pre-protection for that?
Landfill leachate often has a very high ammonia value. Langdale, up to 3,000 milligrams per liter is where they're at high ammonia. The test data I have seen on yours varies from, I think, 400 down to maybe 7, so a wide variation there. Ammonia, the Carthage wastewater plant, was never designed to remove ammonia. probably does. We don't have a lot of tests there on how well it does. There's very limited amount that is mentioned. Ammonia hits very hard. It's very expensive pollutant to remove. Particularly provided dissolved oxygen, provided oxygen, provided air, basically electrical as well.
And the so prior test.
Then there are all the things we don't know about. Now, what should have been happening during this, I guess, last 2 years, mm-hmm. it's been coming in, there should have been a permit written by Parker to the landfill with testing requirements. We've done a few minimal testing. Any industrial pretreatment testing would have significantly longer list of test parameters. We don't have any of that. We don't know. We simply do not know.
And the testing for the ammonia, I don't know how much data you received on this, but there, you know, there's a pretty lengthy amount of data on the ammonia. There was an uptick. I mean, and we don't, you know, was there a dead animal that was disposed of the landfill long ago, and that's what caused it? We don't know that case of why the ammonia has went up, but previously it's been within all the parameters that you've described. So there was about a 4 month period where the ammonia did spike.
You do not understand. Because you spiked the ammonia, they now have to do more testing, put more work on them. We don't know what it is to the system that we have, the ammonia coming through. And the other thing, if I'm not correct in this, when you inadvertently let ammonia come out into your water system, it can have a terrible effect on fish. Whatever, depending on how much you let out. I've been told this by environmental scientists, and if I'm hearing you correctly, there's a laundry list of chemicals and things that we're not even testing for that we're not supposed to come through our plant into the water system.
The reason people would put ammonia limits onto a wastewater plant is because of ammonia toxicity in the food stream. Now, you're fortunate. You've got the second biggest river in Texas. There's lots of dilution, but you're still adding ammonia. Nutrients are a big issue. EPA culture right now, also in PDEX culture. So we're kind of running this flag at the pole saying, are we a target? We have higher ammonia. Are we a target? Well, we don't know that. I don't have a comment back.
But has the, I guess, just for my clarification, I'm not sure of this. You're not still receiving high ammonia, are you?
I haven't got the test result. The last test result I got got down to 12, I think, after Dan put the spray in. That was, what, July? So
that 355 number that y'all are using is before we started treatment. It's not been nowhere near that high since we started treatment. We treated it. We talked to Mr. Dan Martin, and he said we was going to start treating it at the max. At the max limit that you would treat a pond that size. I dropped that ammonia from 3-something down to like 12 the first month it was in there. And we continue to take on that $1,600 and 40 cents. We take that on every month just because we had that meeting with Steve and the former mayor, because, you know, as he brought it up, that he didn't want no issue with ammonia when we got this pipeline in. So we took on that extra cost to get everything down, and now we're people around.
Can I ask a follow-up question regarding the pipeline? Somebody said that project was PDEC approved.
Yes.
So what does that approval mean? Is that approval of the construction? I'm assuming that means they have approved the design of the force plant.
That is. This transmittal is being written, and it's dated to Mayor Nesbitt, August 29th, 2018. This transmittal is being written in response to your submittal received by an applicable environmental field officer on August 28, 2018, most recent plan modification. Regarding the installation of a new pump station and associated force main to connect with Carthage Wastewater Treatment Plant, DSDWM has reviewed your request and hereby approves the modification.
Okay. So that is a approval of construction.
Yes.
Which
well, and we also have a permit.
Has nothing to do with capacity of the system to treat the waste. It's merely the technical design of the force main and the pump station. That's what was approved.
It is the technical design, and it is the incorporation into their solid waste permit, which does have the obligation of protection of the environment. So they have deemed it environmentally safe.
Where is the evaluation of the Carthage plant has the capacity to treat that waste in that approval?
That was not a part of the scope of the
work. We don't
know. But can I ask a question as a follow-up question? And this little question is, you know, you're saying the plant isn't designed to handle ammonia. Is that based on a certain treatment process, like a certain chemical? How costly would it be to have our plant designed to handle it? Is this something that we can make it certified?
Plant was 1978.
That was the plant expansion.
1978. No, probably at a peak. Okay. Designed to remove DOD coal and solids. Fecal coal formula and coal oil. There was no consideration about removing ammonia. The two factors there, the size of the basin, the hydraulic and the solid retention time, and the capacity to provide oxygen.
And then for my follow-up question on that, one thing I do see is, like, it does seem like there's not enough testimony in the core moment. We're not seeing that happen right now. And I'm wondering if the cost involved in doing this test, and if we added that in this language, because it does seem like this memorandum doesn't have enough protection in it. And so maybe that testing can be...
How much is the testing for the ammonia?
But
maybe...
What
if we add the county taking care of the testing for it, and if it's not testing right, we hold it back up? Because again, like he's saying, it's a capacity issue.
We don't have a problem redoing that and understanding. Okay. Brandon and David can work that out.
I don't think we're hearing one of our experts. This is our MTES expert. He's saying there are all these parameters that aren't even covered in any of these tests. Is there a laundry list or something?
Do we have those parameters?
Start with your list of codes, Title 18, Chapter 2. There's a list of chemical parameters in there. Basically, it's stating that nobody can discharge into the system unless you can meet those. So there's a starting point. But that's just supposed to be a wastewater that has potential to have a lot of nasty stuff in it. We need to have a little bit of scanning on commercial parameters. Volatile organic compounds, semi-volatile. But you guys already have that. I don't know what landfill testing, your quarterly testing, what...
We do have VOCs. As VOCs, we don't have, metals, which is typically a primary issue with leachate is metals. We do test for those. There's a long list, and some of those are regulated, some of them aren't regulated. So the question would be, is it going above regulation for the treatment plant, or are we considered just a typical industrial user? Industrial wastewater enters your system, I assume. You have industrial users. So would it be the same requirements for a landfill? Okay. So that would be similar to other counties or other cities of how they handle this. Is you're considered an industrial user, and so just like anybody else that dumps into the system, you have regulations that dictate here's what you have to put into the system. Is it domestic or is it industrial? Is it industrial?
Your current serious ordinance as far as industrial free treatment, rather than the city has an approved industrial free treatment program, and it's basically been lawful since then. And because of that, the time period that has elapsed, the ordinance is a bit out of date for current industrial free treatment. So it's got a little bit different structure because that was the structure that was used 30 years ago. A little more parameters wouldn't have to be. But there is a specification of what's considered normal domestic. That was the 300 BOD, the 600 COD, the 30 ammonia, and 62 K, and some of those parameters right there.
Again, to this violation, I would really ask that every one of you read that because it defines what our responsibilities are as the elected officials to protect our city from some of this stuff. And we really need to read that. It's everything from into the river runoff, it's everything from protecting what comes into our system, what we can allow into our system. We really need to read this to be informed about what we are responsible for as elected officials. I was not aware until it was called to my attention. It's very simple what we're supposed to be doing and what we're supposed to be checking for. We have a really very serious obligation to our city to make sure we're not letting things into our treatment plant that should be coming in the first place and to let it out of the treatment plant into the wind. I mean, serious responsibility. EPA and some of these environmental groups for someone else that's just like picks on a dog, as they say, and as much as I would love to help Jeff, I like him a lot, and I would want to run there.
It's not about Jeff, it's about
Jeff. I know, and do you remember I invited you into my office, man?
You did.
And we sat down, and I said to you, I have to do this, I have to call in the 30 days, because I have a responsibility to take the residents, my workers, my facilities, and the Arnell River. Mm-hmm. And I said, again, it's nothing personal. We said that, and he said, I understand. It's business. I said, it's business. Mm-hmm. And next thing I heard, we were talking to the parcel. So I thought it was a done deal.
Correct.
I had no idea, just all this.
And I don't take kindly to extortion talk, but let me tell you, I have to pay for that somehow, and you just happen to be the unelected person that day to raise to generate that revenue.
My only question would be, when we have receipts from what was charged before any of this person came in.
We had a agreement about wastewater, too.
No, I didn't. My credit card.
You did.
No,
you had the same one I.
Well, yes, the agreement said I could cancel in 30 days. I followed it with yes, ma'am.
When did this problem come to you?
Just from the first time I saw your phone.
So that would have been like the first December?
Whatever it says on here.
Well, your letter to the mayor was December 7th. So I'm assuming it was before December
7th. Yes. Because I started trying to check into the contract, where it's coming from, talking to my experts about it. Yes.
My concern is the council was not called at all about that.
This is the meeting. I wanted to gather enough information to know. I mean, we don't have to hurry into this in 3 days,
but we could have all discussed it.
We are.
I could have saved ourselves a lot of trouble.
If you will read, and I quote, part of what the mayor's responsibility is to gather as much information as possible and then present it to council. I did not have all the information. And I thought there were going to be two other people here today to help share with that.
But you asked me before you had all the information that it offered them to us.
Because MCAS advised, because we don't have the parameters of what's going into our system, to stop it for now and find out more about what is actually going into our system. if you have an emergency situation where you don't know what's coming into your system, you stop it, because there's a 30-day clause that either may, if you look at the MOU, either mayor could have, they could have stopped it in 30 days.
Did the prior mayors consult with any experts?
No, not at all.
Did you speak to either of them to ask them that?
They did. They did have you in the room. They had Barge Design Solutions in the room with two experts.
Who was
it? It's not the original meeting. The original meeting, the mayor Dennis had Ben Reeson come in, and he asked us about taking leach 8 at the wastewater plant, and our response was, we'd rather not take it because there's nothing in it that's going to benefit the wastewater plant. And my job is to take care of the wastewater plant. And he said, well, I'd like for you to try it because it might benefit the city in other ways. And we said, well, we'll try it. If we have problems, we'll have to stop it. And then he come back a few days later and said, well, I got an agreement wrote up and I got a 30-day clause in there where either side can end it in 30 days. And that's where it started. And if I'm asked today, it's still the same thing I told him then. As a wastewater operator for the city of Thurston, I'd rather not take it because it's not going to benefit the wastewater plant. And that's where I stand on it. Now, whatever else goes on, that'll be between the mayor and the council. But Ricky and I don't sit down there and say, hey, let's call and see if we get leach 8 sent to the plant. You just wouldn't do that because it don't benefit the plant.
But, if I can ask, what would make the plant compliant to take this? Is there a way to do that? Like, I like to find a solution somehow. But if it's pre-treated, it would be, and that's what's right now, right?
But we keep
not like, you know, you didn't know that they were already pre-treating it when you wrote the email.
No.
So I would imagine that would change your whole view of it, or at least part of the view of it.
The recent test data looks significantly different from what I've heard about. You're exactly right. Yes.
So, that's my thing. Like, if we're treating it and it, you know, like, this is just, you only have one side of it, and that's not your fault. It's just, like, you only get one side of it. But now that it's treated, and it's such a low amount, and with the fourth main, instead of what? 4,000 gallons coming in all at once, we're going to have just two gallons a minute.
Okay. With a shutoff.
With a shutoff and a test. And a test.
And does that
aren't you only talking about pre-treating for the ammonia? And that's not what most of them are going to get out pre-treating.
You're pre-treating for all of it, right?
Yeah.
Treat more than just ammonia.
We don't know. And that's
we have a little ammonia data, but most everybody else, we just don't know.
And that's the concern I do see that you have, is I think it was a concern as well as yours. We do need to have written in here somewhere that we're still continually testing for the ammonia levels. I want clean water. I want a nice sewer plant, and I understand, and I want to come to an agreement here, but like, we're talking about capacity issues. We're talking about a solution that helps that capacity issue and makes it is better for our plant, because we can turn that off if it's flooding. Because what happens when it's flooding right now, where's that sewer water go? Go straight out in the river. And then right now, that would go in a flood area, that goes straight out in the river instead of getting treated again. And like he's saying right now, is the recent levels are good. We are hitting on the recent levels, but we still need to have something in writing that says we continually test.
We only have recent levels of ammonia. We don't have any testing for all of these.
Look at it. Sounds like, okay, yes, this MOU doesn't have enough details. Okay, so we throw that out. We've already thrown it out. But at this point, why can't the city attorney and the county attorney get together with MPAS and PDEC, draft a new contract that incorporates testing requirements, assign liability between the city and county as necessary, assign cost provisions. You know, if staff is an issue, we can assign, you know, additional staff needs to be put on to monitor who's going to pay for staff. What happens during flooding? All of that can be incorporated into a new contract. And, that's what the mayor can handle with no issue.
Extra holding pond,
all of that can be incorporated into a new contract.
May I ask that we include that they do an industrial type pre-treatment business and go through our as most most landfills don't have any some major pre-treatment.
What you're doing now.
You already do that, right?
That'll be part of it.
If I may add something here, now this one was discussed in like June or July 2017. There was a meeting at this table with the previous mayor.
This goes back to 2016.
Well, 16, and my date may get confused, I'm older and I think.
It was a secondary meeting.
Yes, there was a meeting with the mayor at that time, I believe Steve, I think you and Rico were both here, Oakley Hall from CDEC. There were representatives from Barge Design, there's another gentleman from our firm that represented the city. When the comment came up, can the leachate be handled at the wastewater plant? The answer was, my answer was, we need to get analytical and we need to review that data so that we can go over that with the county design engineer, go over that with the wastewater folks, look at that, see. The proposal was to develop a fourth main, which is an ideal solution, because then you can meter that leachate into the wastewater plant. That way, you don't plug it in, let's say, for instance, you have a tank that you're pumping it into the manhole. So, that was the discussion. Now, we weren't in any subsequent discussion, so I can't address what took place after that. But I believe what was being discussed is a reasonable way to address it.
I have two questions about that.
Yes, ma'am.
It was raised by our plant operator. When you have excessive rain and your ponds are overflowing and our capacity is overflowing,
then everybody has a problem.
Right. And we would have to cut it off, but they probably wouldn't want that.
That's a normal technique for handling.
We don't have 40 days of rain.
The other thing that would have to be defined and spelled out totally, whatever comes through our plant that is toxic and goes into the river, it's not our responsibility. And how do we determine whether it's from them or from us?
Did you have a test report?
You can't do that.
You can't do
that. Once it goes into the river,
you can't do
it. It's carpet problem.
That's right. And we need some liability. That's my main concern.
If
you want to take responsibility for anything that goes through our plant and becomes a river that is toxic and responsible, fine. But we can't take that responsibility.
If we were to get those tests and those tests are showing that everything's good to go through there, I don't want to appreciate that you want to keep these waters clean. I do too. And I appreciate all the work you and all the research you're doing. I really do. I acknowledge that. I just want to find a solution instead of saying no at all. I would like to see, well, let's make sure it's treated good. And if we had these tests done and everything looked good and it was going through our system, would that alleviate a lot of your concerns?
Well, I
would really
turn to our experts to see these tests we need to do.
Again, in our Title 18, some of that is outlawed. Let's take a little quick.
Okay.
If Carthage system receives the leachate, the pump can is far better than the truck can. I mentioned 8 gallons a minute.
Max 8 gallons a minute. So,
with the ability, and I'm assuming with the ability to lower that if necessary.
So how does
that's a far better plan than a tractor trailer dumping 3,000 gallons, 6,000 gallons.
It trickles in like 2 to 3 gallons a day.
But how the pump station works is these ponds will all be lowered to their normal pool elevation. When the leachate starts coming in, it will trigger a float valve that will turn on the pump. The pumps will meter it into the force main. And once that water pool comes down, there's an off switch. It turns off. So it basically turns on and off to move that water through the system. On top of that, once we're at normal pool, and unfortunately, cold day, you were out there, we were at full pool. You saw how full it was out there. As I told you when we were in the field, normal conditions, we had a lot of rain 4 or 5 days consecutively with that. We're limited on using the trucks for where we can dispose of it. Normally, this is going to be 8 to 12 feet below. There's that 42-day capacity that is built into the system. There's an obligation with TDEC to maintain 30 days of capacity. The whole reason that regulation is there is, for instance, if there is an upset at the plant, that it can be shut off. And the agreement originally was if you guys were having problems, Johnny would shut it off. if there was other issues, you know, we have, the landfill has the capacity to hold this material back from them. The ideal situation, a lot of the problems in the 2017 meeting was the 4,000 gallon flood coming through. So when that was discussed between the two previous mayors, that discussion was, you really need to figure out a better way to do this. A fourth main was brought to the table as a better alternative. And that seemed to be the way to go. The ammonia spike that occurred, now that has been treated, and I know we've talked about ammonia a lot, but historically that's not been a problem since, you know, June. So we're 7 months prior, you know, something that was a small 3 month window of issues that was corrected as soon as it was notified. Now, there needs to be some better understanding for the county's consultants when they're reviewing it, that they're not only reviewing it to the solid waste regulations, but they're also reviewing to what you guys are obligated to as well. That was the ball that was dropped. I don't think anybody, you know, there was a scope of work for a consultant to go monitor and make sure that they stayed in permit compliance. The missed thing here was making sure that the plant stayed in permit compliance as well. As soon as it was notified, though, it was within 45 days, maybe 60 days at most, that was corrected. So at this point, the leachate that's being generated after the pretreatment is similar to what's been coming into the system for many years and hasn't caused any violations. The violations that was a potential was related to ammonia, which has been treated.
Let me ask you one question about the pipeline. Again, I'm liability company. Who is that pipeline breaks under a residential section or under a road or whatever? Who is liable for whatever comes out of that and how to handle it?
I don't want to speak legally, so I should probably let Brandon, but the pipeline, how it's designed, one, there is a right-of-way, so Smith County owns that pipe. They own the responsibility for that pipe. It is a double-wall pipe, meaning the leachate runs in one pipe, and there's an outside carrier. If that internal pipe was to break, there would instantly be known at the pump station that there's a problem. So, but it would always be contained within that pipe. That secondary pipe would then drain back into the pond. So you could pump as much as you wanted to into it. If that internal pipe breaks, that water ends up back in Smith County. So there, or in the landfill. So there is no water going into you if that pipe was to be damaged.
How long is this pipe you're talking about?
4,000 feet.
4,000?
And it's jointless. It is a jointless pipe, so it is all welded seams. You know, you've got an interior pipe that actually flows the water. An exterior pipe that's a carrier pipe that prevents any leakage.
But if both pipes, something crazy happened, both pipes broke, would the county be liable for that?
Or something like that, yeah.
Okay.
There's a generator.
Your water line and your yard.
So we would have no responsibility for raising something like that?
You're saying if this runs under a residential section and both sections break, then you're not...
It's in a power easement already, so there is no development that can occur.
Mayor, I might be out of line here, but as concerned citizens in this meeting, gentlemen, correct me if I'm wrong, the pipe will be a lot safer than the method that is used today to transport this leachate to the sewer, am I correct?
Yes, sir.
It'll be a lot better for the community, a lot better for all the kids that live on
Carmack.
It'll
be better for the river system as well, because you're not taking
it. It'll be safer for the community, right?
It's a lot safer than a lot of the natural gas pipelines.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry I interjected, Mayor, but I just thought that needed to be stated. This is something that's going to be safer for our community. You know, you got kids living in the community. I got grandkids.
Okay, but my question, again, and we have not answered this.
Okay.
It's toxic because I said to you, Jeff, and you didn't send any statements, Mayor Mason. We have seen toxic going into that landfill.
Prove that. We have cameras at the scale house.
Okay.
We have locked our doors. We cover our trash every day.
Okay.
If people are dumping at night, they are really good because they're avoiding the cameras and they're covering the trash again, just like we left it.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Can you tell me when the last day you saw a truck going there at night?
Not before you came in, but
when did I come in?
On several occasions at night, because I lived down the road from there. And I'm not the only one who's seen it.
How long ago?
Did you see the truck going in there from here night?
No, when you drive by, these trucks are going in, and it's the only place they can go is to the landfill.
Jimmy, can you speak to that?
Yeah.
can you tell me what, I'm Jimmy Winston, I'm chairman of the solid waste board. I've been on the solid waste board for going on 17 years. Can you tell me when you saw a truck going in there?
So on several occasions over the years.
I mean, over the years?
Yes.
And we had the landfill open that night. We had employees there.
At what time of night?
All night long.
All night long.
We had a second shift.
Okay.
They have to go in, I mean, they have to use the road to get in there. Of course you saw them going in.
So these were not trucks depositing stuff?
Yes, ma'am. We had the scales open.
Okay. I was told you didn't.
We don't now.
Okay.
But we did.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
That was for a period of time there.
Yeah, that was the Center Hill Dam.
Yeah. It was all tested.
What I'm saying is, and I speak to this, mm-hmm. I like this common sense approach. We don't need to start burning bridges here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We've got to work together. I've known Miss Barbara a long time. Mayor Holly, we need to start working together.
We're more than working together.
When this came up, we worked with Steve. Now, I didn't meet him personally. It came through the meeting that this gentleman was talking about. We voted to build a $300,000 force main because it helps you.
It helps the middle of the road, I understand it.
You said, we're dumping it in by tractor trailer loads right now, but we're going to put it in, what, you understand?
If we can,
you are, ma'am, you are running a sewer plant. Do you know what goes through your sewer plant? It's all nasty.
It's biological nasty. In fairness to the mayor, we were asked to try it.
We didn't want to take it. We were asked to try it, and we did. And somebody put a 30-day clause in it. Somebody didn't write a contract. I don't know who did, who didn't. We jumped through hoops. I worked good with Johnny. Johnny's a good man as I ever worked with. And me and Johnny's thoughts, and whether we ever take leach aid again or not, me and Johnny's friends. It's not personal.
But we worked out the agreement. Now, I wasn't involved in the agreement. I wasn't there when it was signed.
But there's no evidence to this agreement.
The city of Carthage, we have taken about $36,000 of your trash since we started this process and wrote it off. And that is, and I've heard a lot about this brook. Do you know that you're taking trash to our landfill that has to be buried? We're not talking about trash or brush. We're talking about class one and class three garbage.
I understand, but we're paying
now you can't dump that down there on the river somewhere.
If I may interrupt, just to get back to a future, instead of looking at the past, if we can go in the future on this. Would it alleviate your concerns if we got these tests done to make sure, like all the tests, not just ammonia, but a lot of the other tests, and because I want safe, does anybody here not want safe leachate, like it going through process? Does anybody want bad water going through? I don't think anybody wants that. So we want to, I would like to see the test too. I think everyone here has also admitted that this little agreement was a bad agreement. It wasn't done properly. It wasn't a contract. So if we got the attorneys, as Jasmine said, got the attorneys to get together, incorporated those tests, made sure everything was safe, would you feel a lot better about that?
And my add to that, if we can do all the testing that's required under Title 18, if we can get our MCAS experts involved in this to let you know what's going on, so we'll test every single thing. And I also want something added in that protects us from liability. That of anything that you bring through our system that goes into the Cumberland River. I don't know how we do that, but I don't want our town liable to any toxins that may come from the land. So that's my biggest concern.
So to address that concern, because what he's saying is once it's in our sewer system, we're liable for it.
Exactly.
But that's why we would have those tests done so that we make sure, like, if that test comes out, that test comes back bad, we shut it off. And the city has the ability to say, we're shutting this off because you're making us liable. Now we're liable because you're putting bad leach in. We're shutting it off.
It's under our control.
Yeah, and it's right. Puts it under our control. I think we should have control for the city
says shut off the leachate valve. So that's a solid waste from it.
The generator is actually, Fran, is that correct? The generator is responsible because we are regulated by the state and we have a permit with the state. We are actually responsible. If we contaminate Carthage, if we sent a bunch of material into Carthage that did damage, we generated that waste.
But we wouldn't know if it's not tested and it doesn't come through. We wouldn't know it would go into the river. It would be our liability.
Myself and Ricky have the ultimate control of the valve because you're running under our license. By the state of Tennessee, we're the ones that can be fined and put in federal prison.
Right.
So my thing is, and I don't worry about Johnny because I know Johnny's good money. And Johnny don't like him. But if I need to go shut the valve, I'm going to call Johnny and I'm going to go shut the valve. And I don't expect anybody to be kind of bored and they go open it back up because it ain't going out until we're ready to open it. Now, with that being said.
Well, yeah, we would want to know. Fine, you shut it down, and we would want to know.
Sure, I'll just call Johnny and say, you know, Johnny, here's what's going on. I've got to shut the valve.
Yeah.
And I'm going to shut it. But I think when it comes to Ricky shut it, Ricky and I, we're the ones that's on the, we're the ones on the ball of the state of Tennessee. And it's cost us our lives.
And I think that you all, that's what I'm advocating is that you all have the final say, the final control of it happening.
And I know Brett Ward, I've been meeting with him before, and he is a professional, and he needs to be in charge of drawing a permit. Testing, what needs to be done, and if we get this worked out, great.
We need our MPAS expert involved.
Okay, I get my CPAS, okay.
As a municipality, that can be turned to.
Well, we turned the CPAS, so I would like them to make some calls out, and also my thing.
Well, from the very beginning, like Ricky said, the plan on our side was to get Brett Ward involved. But every time it seemed like a meeting was coming up, I would get a phone call and say, we've been took care of. From the previous mayor, everything had been took care of. So the only meeting I actually had was when I called that meeting and got Johnny in here because of money went behind. But yeah, I mean, Mr. Brett Ward is a professional. He knows what's going on. We need him involved with permit. And if we can get this worked out, satisfy, and get a legal binding contract.
So here's a proposal. First of all, remember Larry Moore.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about the biotiger model. Get Larry to model the plant for ammonia removal.
But ammonia is not a problem right now. I don't. We're already doing pre-treatment.
We don't know.
This is a minor step. Let's just see what we got as far as capacity. What do we have as far as hydraulic capacity? What do we have as far as organic capacity? What do we have as far as ammonia removal capacity? And if there's a spike, can you handle it? How we handle it? Okay. Some additional testing to know what do we have, and then let's do a permit.
How many other municipalities do you know of that take the water to the sewer lines to that state? What issues do they face?
Okay. We're quite good with the city of Oneida.
Okay.
We need almost the exact situation in the LA
landfill,
Scott County,
where they bring it
in, and it's piped in.
That's a corporation on landfill, that's not a county on landfill.
Right. It's piped in, and the wastewater plant operators frequently, especially in the wintertime, will call and say, turn it off. You can't take it.
But is it not? Is there stuff pre-treated them?
They have a variety of pre-treatment steps. And I don't know exactly what they have because they have evolved over the years. But ammonia is their big issue.
But the landfill doesn't have any pretreatment for it.
Yes. The Scott County landfill has some storage and pretreatment. They got at least one area in storage tank.
If ammonia is a problem, like you said right there, in the wintertime, you said shut it off. Well, I'm treating with Max, I'm treating with 330 gallons a month. Well, I'll put 630 gallons over and treat it.
And
I'll
drop
it down further.
You know, maybe you solve the ammonia problem.
Yeah,
it could.
But you guys treat more than just ammonia, right?
It treats several things. It treats more than ammonia.
We have data from the raw leachate to what comes out the pipe that shows that there is treatment going on in the lagoon.
You know, the minimum testing list is what's in the code. but, you know, I would recommend a more extensive list for this initially.
Is the code?
It's our municipal code, the question.
Actually, in tomorrow.
We have to buy that.
And it's about the leak check, and Jesse called and said, you know, they called.
But I don't know.
Let's talk about it. And it'll be the same testing scheme with Hartsville as it would be with Carson.
Right.
Yeah.
And we approached them in an emergency situation, so we knew we're facing this deadline today, and we're coming up to the 7th, and that's why we.
You know, I was asking Jesse the same thing. Okay, you've got a new renovated plant, what's the capacity? You know, hydraulic, organic, is there anything in that design about the ammonia removal capacity? But now maybe that's the point now.
Yeah.
We believe based on the data that we received that it is.
We gave them a sample of water.
Yes. And I have some here, Mayor. Given the fact you've got a council here that seems to want to work out an agreement and get involved with some discussion between the attorneys and PDEC and MPAS, Mr. Ward, given the fact we've got this situation that cannot be solved overnight, that might include some testing, some analysis, and obviously don't have attorneys are, especially when we're doing something we don't know anything about. So we'll rely on them getting professional information. Okay, maybe Brandon knows all about it. But regardless of that, I've also heard where you're talking about the possibility of having another pond,
yes.
Seven ponds. Yes. You've got a time period here that's not going to happen overnight. What do we do in the interim? Have you solved it? Everybody's concerns in the interim.
Jeff, how long do you think it would take to build a third pond?
We'd have to get it permitted. I mean, we'd have to go through TDEC to get it into our solid waste permit, design it, fast track, get construction 3 months, and then we would probably need an additional 2 months. It would probably be a lined pond, similar to the upper pond that we would have to put in. So,
no, and think about when we operate the
operational. But right now, from a technical standpoint, The reason there was a third pond brought in was to give us even more additional storage.
Right.
From a technical standpoint, more than 42 days. I mean, we just submitted 4 months ago, we submitted a letter to TDEC as part of this force main project certifying that we had that 30-day storage. So,
and I like the idea of a pond. I mean, we can put that in there, have a pond completed by date, whatever, and give enough time for that. But it doesn't seem like that's something that's holding us back right now.
It's
an extra protection.
Down the road.
And I think that's a good extra protection. And also, like we were discussing, you know, like Devin said, let's get the attorneys together. Let's get them working on it. Let's get a nice contract. Get both CCAS and MPAS together. Everybody talk and communicate. We'll all work together.
That's right.
And move forward. But right now, we need to have something.
We would ask that you continue with this.
I think we need to continue with what we've got right now while we work on whatever. I'm for that as long as there's a timeline that this will be done. Like, I don't want to say, okay,
I don't
want to
go on for a year, whatever.
We'll have the agreement in place 60 days, something like that. In the meantime, for 60 days, we'll keep the current agreement.
I can reject what we have right now. It's just a memorandum of understanding that has been passed.
Well,
we don't have any parameters.
We can make a new one
right
now.
Yeah, we
can
do that.
This time with the approval of the council.
Okay, but I'm
have a county commission meeting Monday night. I can run it through there when we get the agenda on that. No problem.
But again, the one, for me, most important thing in Title 718, if you please read that, we're responsible for, we have to have someone liable for what comes through our plant, so
we generate it.
Okay, but you don't understand what I'm saying. Once it's gone through the plant into the Cumberland River, it's our problem.
No,
but generate it. He just addressed it. He said if it comes out.
How are you going to separate out yours from ours? You can't.
We can do some theoretical modeling, the same modeling you're going to do to see if the ammonia is there.
Ammonia, chromium, and asbestos, who knows what's coming through there?
Let's say that in the testing, because you're talking about a third party test.
We test our water every
for all of those parameters we're talking about?
I want to talk about something right now as far as regulations on a landfill. If he flips a rock over and stumps his toe he didn't know about it.
Okay, but once it comes into ours, if you're responsible for it, these gentlemen are responsible for it. Who is liable if it comes to our plant
we
from
are.
You?
Well, if I send you high chrome,
they're saying that they are.
If we send you high chromium and you have no other industrial permit.
But we have to know that.
We have to know.
But you got water testing.
We don't have any guarantee of that in writing.
It's either poop or leachate.
Well,
you got
testing. But your leachate is a lot more toxic than your poop. I'm sorry, but it is.
If Carthage permit is violated, Carthage is responsible.
That's
what's your
that's
we would be there to limit our liability for
head to rig.
Do the best we can to know what's coming in and have a regulatory document, a contract or a permit.
How does that testing need to be done then?
Probably more than once or twice a year.
Every quarter?
But,
can
we do every quarter? Quarter? You're doing something already quarterly, aren't
you?
Yeah,
they test it quarterly. Groundwater.
Yeah.
And some baseline testing might be quite extensive, and based on a baseline, then we adjust the rate of testing after that.
What tests that are being done, we get a copy of, as soon as you get it, so we can look at it, so if there is a problem, we can get on top of it. You know, well, we're not sitting here saying, oh, we do our metals test once a year, we've got a problem. But every time you get test results, it needs to be ever how frequent this and then if there is a problem, we can address it. If we need to shut the valve and call Johnny and say, hey, my level's up. And the one thing about pneumonia, and I'm not pro or con, I'm just telling you what can happen because I worked at LaFayette. We had to do the steel ammonia and cold phosphorus every day. And first you're looking at about $5,000 worth of lab equipment, not counting chemicals. And probably an extra 3 hours a day doing lab tests. Our blower situation down there is all or nothing. We're not set up to bring down ammonia and keep from taking phosphorus up. We would have to put in a whole new blower system with VFDs. So if we did get in a situation with our permit, where they required us to do it, it could be pretty expensive. And it's a line where you probably have to start bringing in 3-4-ride and you have to start adding it to the system to bring phosphorus down. I'm not trying to make rocket science. It's just stuff that you can get into. So that's why I want to make sure that test-wise, we really get on top of the things with the test before we go real far with it. We've got a good permit. And we protect the treatment plant, so that's my job, to protect that treatment plant.
Would you be able to get involved in that meeting just to make sure that from your standpoint, you've been up here so long, from your standpoint, it looks legitimate to you as well, looking out for our city and being that
and,
your butt somewhere else?
And also, as the mayor says, we don't want to tie up so much capacity here we can't get industry in, so we need to look at the future on that.
Mm-hmm.
And going forward, anytime we do look at industry or something coming in, I think the council needs a committee to look at the impact of the environmental, the economical, and kind of get the horse back in front of the cart, because we hadn't been that way. I think during this last 2 years, we're all kind of chasing it. But I'm here to help the river. But my main thing is to help the town of Carthage and take care of the treatment plant.
And Mr. Ward made a statement this morning when we were talking with him that our sewer system is on both
Carthage probably has more money invested in the sewer system than all other cities assets combined. It's staggeringly expensive piece of infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes some money to operate. It also takes some money to maintain it. That's what I do. I don't know the history of what the construction states were and the expansions and things like that. One of your real risky situations right now is Steve has mentioned the limit rain, the limit rainwater infiltration and inflow. And the flow goes from 300,000 to 1,000,000.
That's where we need to address the fact.
That's a lot of rainwater leaking in, and I would suggest you do that by fixing the leak, not just adding capacity.
We may add to that.
But
the town has already done projects to work on I-9. We have another project right now that we're just waiting to finalize to help eliminate the I-9. That's a problem that's been identified for years.
and we're just trying to work on it and help to get the funding, like every small town, because nobody just has a pot of money that you can just go out and get.
Do we feel like we can get an agreement together in the next 30 days? Okay, so what I like to do is make a motion.
Shop right here. Have the initial testing has to be done, right?
If you provide us with that, not speaking to the mayor, but we can have those tests done immediately. So if you provide them with the table.
I can get you that Monday.
Okay, and it will take us laboratory time about 7 days. What?
Do we need a witness to go with him to get a sample, or a third party, or?
Well, you guys get together and.
I'll get together with John.
I think it'd be a great witness for it, because.
Yeah, we'll collect the samples and have a baseline, and that will dictate a lot then. But we can turn that around. From the time you get me that, we'll plan to do it Tuesday the following day, so we can get all our chain of custody put together, get the coolers from the laboratory to be able to send everything off. Their typical turnaround time is 7 days, so from the time we get that, let's say a 10 calendar days later, we will be in a situation to be able to provide that back.
The testing that you're doing now, you said on a quarterly basis, you know, I would be interested in what that is already. We can provide that information.
Yeah, we'll provide that.
We get that.
Yeah. I believe, Steve, you have a copy of the quarterly.
The last one was July.
Okay, same testing parameters. It's all spelled out in Subtitle D. Is where the parameters come as part of the permit that they're required to test these. So TDEC looks at what are the environmental concerns related to their leachate. They generate their standard, which are in the Subtitle D regulations, plus any specific special conditions. Smith County does not have any special conditions on their permit, so it is the Title D requirement.
So what I like to do is I like to motion that we extend that contract to, let's say, about 2 weeks after our next meeting. We extend what we've been doing to see what they come up with, and then we will have much more information where everyone's agreed, and we as the city council can come up with
a.
Can
you take that motion so we can have the motion and a second?
Well, let me finish what I was saying. I'm sorry. So that we can have all the information from the city side, the sewer side, the engineers, the county side, all together, so we can make an informed decision. But we're not stuck with this problem with the county and the city in the meantime. So my motion is to extend the contract to 2 weeks after our next meeting.
Which would be what date? What contract?
The MOU.
The MOU.
I'm going to get a calendar here.
So, am I understanding?
2 weeks from that.
21st of January.
Keep dropping it for the next, till the 21st.
I'd like to, amend your motion then, if I may.
I'll say the first council meeting in March.
I was going to say March 1.
To our first council meeting. Okay, we can do that. Let me take the motion on that table real quick, just open this quick discussion.
Okay, that's fine.
All I'm asking is the mayor, because all of us are responsible, we have to have something in there about whatever comes to our plant into the Cumberland River has to be the liability of whoever put it into our plant. I don't know how we're going to do that.
You stated that, and I agreed with you.
Yeah, and we'll have it.
County can take liability.
Yeah.
We already have liability.
So, what we'll do is to make the motion, just to make it clearly in writing, that the March meeting, the motion is that we extend this contract to the March meeting on the contingency that the county, in writing, has liability and all of theirs.
For what they produce.
And then you have something for us.
Well, how do we get the rate? That's what I'm saying.
Because we're going to do the baseline testing, which is going to have every test that we want tested to confirm the constituents that are in that leachate.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to test every parameter that we're
Section 18 or Title 18.
It will be more than Title 18.
It will be, and as long as they're applicable to leachate, I don't think the mayor would have any issues with that.
No,
we're not going to go test for other things outside of it. I mean, we'd have to have that discussion. We need to see the list before we can agree to it. But
right. If
it's all related to leachate and truly what goes into a landfill that could potentially become soluble and end up in the water, I don't think there would be a single concern on the council side.
So motion on table.
I'll put it.
Thank you.
What's your motion?
March meeting, we continue what we're doing, March meeting on contingency that we have in writing, that the county is responsible for anything that they put in the system as liability.
And I have something for us.
Based on the baseline test that we're going to do.
Yes, correct.
And when will this baseline test be done?
Within 10 days from the day we receive the parameters.
That's good.
And if those testing show negative things, what do we do?
Well,
we'll be back in March.
We'll be back in March to take care of it.
Did you stop the delivery?
Yeah, we've already taken it, so we got a vote for it.
Well, no, we have to know if that testing is not good, do we stop the delivery? What are we going to do?
Can you call the council this time?
A special call meeting, you'll be ruling, okay?
Put it back in, so we have a vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Can I have a roll call vote?
Vice Mayor White?
Yes.
Councilwoman Knappich?
Yes.
Councilwoman Scott?
Yes.
Councilman Ingalls?
Yes.
Councilman Peggy?
Yes.
Councilman Reed?
Yes. Now, one thing that hasn't been addressed is the fact that, and it doesn't matter to us, but I guess from the standpoint of the city, telling the county, this is moving towards a solution that perhaps is good for everybody, but I hate for y'all to go ahead and put pipe in the ground and then in March the 2nd, we are at impasse over something. So do at your own will what you're going to do, and just take note, we're not at the finish line yet, but I know y'all got a contract and have let out bids and so forth, so whatever y'all do, don't just understand we're still a work in progress.
No presumption on our part, okay?
Do we need to apply for a tap for that kind of thing, and we'll pay you a monthly sewer bill?
Yeah, they need to apply for a tap.
Yeah.
Okay. You're right there.
I think that would be discussed.
Yeah, let's see what $1,000 a gallon is, that what we charge the line on.
$100 a gallon.
That will be discussed. If I'm correct, that will be discussed at that meeting.
And I just want to make a statement too. I know that we've all had there's been a big disagreement between the county and city on this, right? And there's a reason we have different positions, especially different mayors. But if Sarah hadn't dug into this, even though I've disagreed with her on it, we wouldn't come up with the parts where the liabilities are involved, where we're getting this testing. And we want to get this testing. And I think and that wasn't anything that Mayor Mason put into writing, nor did not Mayor Smith. So I think it's a good thing we're having this discussion.
The first phone call on November 27th, she called me. That was her. She wanted a new agreement, and we were.
I wanted to see an agreement that we know.
We had the memorandum of understanding, and you said I want to make it stronger, and we discussed that and said that wasn't a problem.
I just want to say thank you for looking into this, because I want clean water, and there is a concern, and we get to get the testing out of it, and everybody wins. So I'm glad this is our house.
And continue bringing your brush, no charge. And thank you all for hearing us out and all of our changes. We really appreciate that. We want to work with you guys. If Mayor Smith, we want to work with you. Again, this is something that you and I inherited, and I'm glad that we've come today and created a motion for forward.
I'd like a motion to adjourn.
Thank you.
Thank you.